Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Christian Rocketeers podcast, where we impart, inspire, impact, and influence your Christian nonprofit to rocket your leadership to the top. I am so excited for my guest co-host today. He is a prophetic business coach. Let him tell you more about what he does, because I know you're going to want to hear what God has downloaded to him for this time in this season for you as a nonprofit leader. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Paul Graydon. Good morning. How are you, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing wonderful, Shawnee. It's so good to see you today.
I am so glad that you could take time out of your busy schedule to come and chat with me today.
I'm always happy to chat about things in the kingdom.
That's awesome. So why don't you give me a little background on your family and where God has brought you to in this season?
Sure. I'm married. I have two children. They're both girls. And believe it or not, they're 20 years apart.
Wow.
I lost one wife to ALS, unfortunately, Lou Gehrig's disease, and then remarried, of course, many years later. So there's 20 years between my girls, which was interesting. I thought it was free babysitting at the time. That didn't work out so well.
But my How oldest, old are your girls?
Yeah, my oldest is 44 now, and I have two grandchildren. They're both girls, 15 and 18. My youngest, Stephanie, is 24. Graduated from Olivet Nazarene University a couple of years ago, right in the middle of COVID, of course, and is doing really well serving the Lord.
Yeah, I've had the honor of meeting her. She's pretty incredible. You've done a great job.
Oh, thank you. I give God the glory for that.
So why don't you tell me what God has called you to right now? You have a unique ministry that God is giving you to do for this season. And it's called As It Is in Heaven.
Yeah, As It Is in Heaven Ministries actually is my nonprofit. And I've been called, well, let me back up. I have a doctorate in Judeo-Christian studies. Mm-hmm. I don't say that to pat myself on the back. And be honest with you, Shawnee, I never intended to get a degree. I went to Bible college because I wanted to learn more about God and grow deeper in my relationship with Him. And Sunday mornings in church and Wednesday nights wasn't enough for me. So I started taking classes. And after a while, the dean called me in his office and says, hey, do you know that you've got enough courses put together for your master's degree and you're halfway to a PhD? And no, because wow. I wasn't worried about that. So I got the master's, and I have this bug in me that the Lord put in me that when I start something, I have to finish it. Drives my wife crazy sometimes. But I needed to finish this, so I finished the PhD. So all that to say that I study the Old Testament a lot more than most people do. And one of the things that I've been studying lately, and you and I have talked about this before, mm-hmm. was when the Israelites came out of Egypt, and they had their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and Moses dies, and they're about ready to enter the promised land under Joshua. Two of the tribes actually did not want to cross the Jordan River.
I found that interesting when you shared that with me, that they didn't want to cross.
Yeah, and again, this is so much that we miss when we don't look at other sources. And I'm not saying the Bible is loaded with information about this, but we learn so much more from the rabbinical writings from the time. But it was Zebulun and Issachar who stayed behind. And of course, it was half the tribe of Manasseh, but for the sake of what we're discussing, they don't factor in here. Issachar was known for loving to study the Torah. And all they wanted to do was study. But of course, you can't support yourself that way.
Right.
And Zebulun were business people. They were anointed by God to succeed in business. So they formed a symbiotic relationship where Issachar would study the Torah. They would dig out these principles that were hidden in the word and share them with Zebulun, who would then implement them in their businesses. And Zebulun then would financially take care of the tribe of Issachar. So they had a great symbiotic relationship that lasted for a long, long time. And as I was studying this, I was hearing God tell me prophetically that he is bringing this type of symbiotic prophetic movement back into the church now, mm-hmm. where we can study the word and we can get those kind of hidden principles of the word that will affect Christian businesses. He wants Christian businesses to succeed, to fund what he wants to do in the kingdom in this age.
So, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, especially in with nonprofit, you know, we teach how to do a nonprofit a different way. We teach them how to do it where it's a profitable nonprofit, not where you're just pouring it into yourself and bleeding yourself dry like some nonprofit owners that I have gotten to chat with have done. I love that symbiotic relationship because it's we're called to have kingdom principles apply in all of our lives, but some people segment it out because, you know, they don't believe God comes over a business, but really he wants to come in every part of our life that we have.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but when Jesus started his ministry and he started looking for the disciples to call, he went to the Galilee area. And that was the area where Zebulun was.
Yeah.
And the disciples he called actually were all business people, successful business people. So he surrounded himself with successful business people, and he even had a treasurer, although that didn't work out so well. But the point is that Jesus really doesn't have anything against us prospering.
No.
And using the money wisely, of course.
Yeah, to fund the kingdom, because we're called to bring, as your name of your ministry says, as it is in heaven, we're called to bring heaven to earth. And when we do that through being generous, through being able to take care of the poor, the widow, feed the hungry, do the things that he's called us to do. In your notes that you gave me, one of the verses that you gave me that stood out was the verse that you talked about in Matthew 25, and that stood out for us in leading nonprofit ministries because it says, the king replied, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So as we do these things, we're doing them unto the Lord. Tell me how that verse came for you. What stood out to you about that verse when...
Well, it is interesting because I think it exposes God's heart. Mm-hmm. And that is tied into the parable of the separation of the sheep and the goats. You just have to go through a couple of gospels together and piece things together, but there's a relationship there. And the goats, as you recall, were surprised that they weren't being welcomed into the kingdom, because they had done things like heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. The things that they taught us in school were the power gifts. Mm-hmm. They flowed in those and they flowed well. But you wonder what their heart motive might have been, because they get a lot of notoriety when you're moving in those kind of gifts. Whereas the sheep were there to serve the people and feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and you know, finding the wounded and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So we learn a lot about God's heart from that. And that's why I believe that what nonprofits do, which tends to gravitate towards that population of people, the ones that really need the help, really are in the center of God's heart.
Yeah, I think because as Christians, we look to the world to solve the problems, but really the answer to solving the world's problems is found within the church. It's found within the people getting out there and being the hands and feet of Jesus and showing God's love to the world. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. And I would add one more thing to it, is that we need the ability to hear God's voice and understand how he communicates with us. You remember when he called Peter, James, and John, they had been out fishing all night. They're professional fishermen. They were excellent at what they did, but they didn't catch anything.
Right.
Jesus says to them, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat." And they're in close to the shore at that point. None of that made any sense logically to them as professional fishermen.
But no, because you would think that fishing deeper in the water, you know, out deeper into the water would get you more fish, but Jesus brought them close.
Absolutely. And they obeyed the voice of the Lord. And, you know, they had a haul. They had to have others come bring in. Their boat was starting to sink. It was so great. So we, when we're working in our nonprofits, need to be able to hear from God to make course corrections or to head off potential roadblocks down the road.
Definitely. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Why don't we take a quick break and then we'll talk about how you got started in your nonprofit and where God is leading you to next.
Okay.
All right. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be back with more with Dr. Paul Graydon.
Why become a sponsor at Mercy's Life Family? Sponsors at Mercy's Life Family are ending sex trafficking. They are healing girls physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially to put them back on their feet in just 3 short years for themselves and their babies to be self-sustaining. That's what you get at Mercy's Life Family Sponsorship. In addition to that, you get a prayer card with the story of your girl or your baby so you can pray over them. You get behind the scenes access to be able to see day-to-day life in Kenya and what life is like for the girls at the house and how they're developing. You get that and so much more. Join us in sponsorship today.
Everybody, welcome back to the Christian Racketeers podcast. I am so excited. If you are just tuning in, I have Dr. Paul Graydon with me, and we are chatting about, you know, how God wants us to have as Him as a part of our daily life and our nonprofit. And He's been giving us some interesting insight on, we were talking, Dr. Paul, about the fish and, you know, how Jesus had the disciples fish in a different way. And we were going to continue that conversation. So why don't we pick up there?
Okay. Well, I think that the key to success there was they heard Jesus and they obeyed. And Jesus modeled that for us. I hear a lot about the Old Testament, and that's under the law. We don't have to do it. So let's just talk about what Jesus did, which is New Testament stuff. Mm-hmm. He clearly said that he only did what he saw the Father do. And he only said what he heard the Father say. So he spent a lot of time in prayer. You know, there were 4 prayer watches during the day, 3 hours each. Yes, we know about one where he took Peter, James, and John, and he got after them for falling asleep. But that was the midnight prayer watch. It's hard to stay awake. But personally, I suspect that he took the others during the other 3 prayer watches and was training them all. You remember in the book of Acts how they got so busy with doing the work that they lost that time. So this is where they brought on deacons to do the work of feeding the widows and things like that so they could go back to devoting their time to prayer and study. So they heard God, they heard Jesus say, throw the net, and then they obeyed. Now I can give you an example that might just blow you away from when I was running a large nonprofit here in Tennessee, if you're interested in hearing that.
I'd love to hear that.
All right. Well, I was actually visiting a church in Atlanta with my wife. And when we got there, it turns out that it was an African-American church. So we were the only white faces in the building. And the praise and worship was great. It was fast paced and loud. And I mean, you could just feel your heart beating as you're worshiping God. And at one point, the worship leader said, come on forward and worship God up front. So I went up, my wife went up, and I raised my hands. And I closed my eyes and I began to worship. And in the course of that, and Shawnee, this hasn't happened to me before and it hasn't happened to me since. But in the course of this, I found myself at the Sea of Galilee. I knew I was at the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah,
I knew I was there because I had visited there twice. So I knew exactly the beach area, exactly where I was. And Jesus actually took me back in time, I believe, to the place where he said to the disciples, let's go to the other side. I say I believe he took me there because I had no idea what was going on around me, the praise and worship or anything going on around me. I was totally focused on where I was. And what the Lord told me is he had been talking to me about the nonprofit. And we had five different divisions. One was a feeding program for the poor. Another would clothe them. Actually ran Head Start in eight different counties in the area. And we insulated people's homes to help them save money. There was lots of good going on, but they were five independent departments. And the Lord said, I want unity. So it wasn't a Christian organization either, but he's calling me as a Christian leader at that nonprofit to unify the departments. And it made sense since they're serving the same population. But I had different leaders of those departments. Some have been there 20 years or more who, well, they didn't want to do that. You know, they liked their kingdom, if you will, the way it already was. So the Lord said, I'm going to teach you something here that when you go to your board meeting about this unified budget next week, you're going to know what to do. So here I am at the Sea of Galilee. He tells the disciples, let's go to the other side. It was almost like being in a TV show, Shawnee, where you're standing there as an outside observer. You ever see people turn to the camera and talk to the audience? And Jesus would do that with me. So I get in the boat. The disciples have no idea I'm there. Just Jesus does. And all of a sudden, the storm brews up, and the disciples are freaking out, waking him up. Don't you care? We're going to perish. And they're really scared. And Jesus looks at me, and he winks. And, you know, he has a really great sense of humor. And he goes, this is the important part. He goes, before I do what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you a question. What's on the other side of the sea? I'd never thought about it before, so I had to stop and think. And I realized on the other side was the Gadarene demoniac. And if you remember, when he got there, they said to him, what are you doing here? It's not our time. So he stood up and he said two words. Now, he didn't speak English in the Bible. He said two Hebrew words. He said shalom and amad. And shalom's a word that I'm sure you're familiar with, and your viewers probably are too. Most of the time, that is translated as peace in English.
Yes.
In the Bible, we hear him say, peace, be still, right? So peace, but shalom's much deeper than that. There's an overall sense of well-being, prosperity, and also it's hello and goodbye. What he was doing was saying hello to those demonic forces on the other side of the sea. You see, they're the ones that had stirred up the storm. The scripture tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against people, but right, against spirits and principalities or rulers in high places. So they're stirring up the storm because they didn't want him over there. Then he says the word amad, and the word amad in Hebrew is a military term. It tells the person to stand at attention, to face their commander. They're not allowed to move. They're not allowed to speak until they're released by their commander. And as soon as he said amad, the storm stopped. And he laid back down. And of course, we know the rest of the story when he got to the other side and he dealt with those demons. Actually, they're the ones that went into the pigs and jumped off the cliff afterwards. So he says to me, this is how you deal with your board meeting. So Thursday night, I end up in my board meeting, and oh, it was ugly. The chairman of the board was completely against unifying the budget. This organization was 50 years old. So it was a new concept.
So they were kind of set in their ways in what they were doing if they were 50 years old, and they probably had done things the same way for a long period of time.
Absolutely. And actually, she had been on the board. She had termed out probably 8 years earlier and still was there. So nobody wanted to change anything. And there was literally yelling and screaming going on. And I just sat back in my chair and I closed my eyes and kind of tuned them out and just tuned into God. I wanted to hear God. And I heard Holy Spirit say, now. And what I heard now, I literally said, Shalom Ahmad. Probably not any louder than I just said it to you. They couldn't hear the words I said because of all the yelling and arguing back and forth. But as soon as I said those two words, all the arguing stopped. The room became so quiet, you could hear a pin drop. And long story short, by the end of that meeting, we had agreed to that unified budget. And what the Lord did next really astounded me because I never saw it coming. But a week later, we raised another $3 million in grant money because we were now able to serve such a broader spectrum of the poorer population in Middle Tennessee than we were with each department working individually.
You know, yeah, so because God was bringing unity because he knew in that unity you would be able to serve more and that that abundance was there once you were unified. That's so good and so, so powerful.
And you know, that's an extreme example, if you will, of hearing God. And whether you believe or not that God does these things today, I think his relationship.
Oh, I wholeheartedly do because I've experienced it. I've had those moments where he's given me wisdom like that on what to do in our next steps and wholeheartedly believe. Yeah. In that, so how did that moment change the way that you looked at your nonprofit? What did that do for you moving forward?
Well, for one thing, the directors of all those departments, they really had a bit of a jolt. And again, I'm telling you, these weren't Christian people. This was a secular agency that I was running. But they began to hear, because I was very overt about who I was and what I believed. And I figured if they didn't like that, then they didn't like that. They could hire somebody else. But we were starting to see things happen that never happened before. People returning phone calls, programs getting started and funded. There was a lot of excitement around there. And I had over 300 employees at the time. So to see everybody getting jazzed and people have been there so long that were just kind of beaten down, and to be able to speak into them like God speaks into us and say, you're doing a great job. I believe in you. What do you need for me to help you succeed? And just sow into people, because I want them to see Jesus in me. And God never really scolds me. He's an encourager. When we talk
I think about that, how you were able to work in an area that wasn't necessarily Christian, but still be that light of Jesus in that nonprofit, you know, organization to help others see him and still accomplish what he set out to do is so, so powerful.
Absolutely. And the people, we were running a $15 million budget at the time, which jumped $18 million a week later. But the people who were funding that were not Christian people. So, you know, God will work behind the scenes and prompt whoever he needs to prompt to keep us moving forward when we are faithful to what he's called us to do. And I think we get bogged down as Christians sometimes because I have studied the word. I mean, for crying out loud, I've got a PhD. I have studied the word of God inside out and backwards. Do I know it all? No, I don't. But I've learned something really important. And the key is in the words he said to Joshua, that basically he said to Joshua, if you speak my word and my word only, you're going to have great success. You know, that's my translation, if you will. We have to say that, but we say God's word with the backdrop of our relationship with God.
Yeah.
So when Jesus only did what he saw the Father do, that was because he had a relationship with the Father every day. He would actually get clued into what's going to happen the next day and what he should do and what he should say.
To bring that about to pass, which he invites us to that as well, as we have that communion and fellowship with him. You know, we're called to bring his purposes here on earth. So we've talked about how you overcame, like, that moment is just so huge. What do you think was your biggest struggle in running a nonprofit?
Well, I think in that one, because that we had people there, you know, to be honest with you, Shawnee, I lost the Head Start director afterwards. because that was her kingdom, if you will, that she'd been there 30 years. And the fact that we were working together and cooperating, in her mind, she lost power, if you will, and just wasn't happy with that. It was the best thing that ever happened to us. I mean, that program began to thrive afterwards because the assistant director knew the Lord.
So he was positioning in removing her to bring more favor on the organization.
Right, right. If we're going to listen to him and flow in what he says to do and just obey, even when it doesn't make any sense, we're going to see success in our nonprofits, you know, wild success. The problem I find is most people, though, don't know how God communicates. So a lot about what I'm doing today and then the shift in the calling God has when I'm talking to Christian nonprofit leaders, the executive directors or whoever, I do board training. And even with for-profit Christian businesses, is they have to learn how God communicates. You know, it's nice to say, hear God's voice, or a lot of times I'll see something in the spirit, but when they don't know how that works, they're at a loss. So I have to teach them. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but you ever read the first chapter of Jeremiah?
I haven't in a long time.
Yeah. Jeremiah was just a teenager, and God's calling him to be a prophet. He's just calling him in the relationship. So the first thing we see is Jeremiah is hearing God's voice. The people around him aren't hearing God's voice because God's voice is within. But then he says something interesting. He says, Jeremiah, tell me, what do you see? Mm-hmm. And he says, well, I see a branch. And he describes the branch. And God says something so affirming. He goes, Jeremiah, you have seen well. And so
he gives him that affirmation that you've seen, you know, hey, you know, he's like, okay, God, it's a branch. What do you want me to see? And then, you know, you've seen well. That's so good. Right. And he gives that to us as well. We're going to pause here for 1 second and we'll be right back with more. And I'm excited because we're going to dive deeper into this. So grab your coffee. Take your quick break, and we'll see you again in just a few minutes.
I left my legal career to pursue a higher calling. What changes are you willing to make? My name is Carrie Reichartz, and I'm a Rising Star Lawyer by the Milwaukee Magazine, and I left my rising legal career to make a difference in the world of girls in Kenya.
The women I met forever changed my life. I returned to my job and I realized it no longer served me. I knew he had something bigger in store for me. I was called to serve others, so I left my law to begin my own business. I founded 2 nonprofits, Operation Give Hope and Infinitely More Life. I also began teaching women who are overwhelmed when trying to start and grow their nonprofit to ministry to thrive.
My first nonprofit, Operation Give Hope, tackles systematic spiritual, emotional, and financial poverty afflicting young mothers in Mombasa, Kenya, and helps sex trafficking victims heal. My second nonprofit, Infinitely More Life, operates globally and helps people recognize and reconcile life traumas by working with Christ. I have assisted hundreds in starting their own domestic and international nonprofits. Are you ready to leave behind the fear and doubt holding you back from starting the nonprofit God has called you to? Join the 8-week Christian Rocketeer Nonprofit Startup Certification. Remember, you are not leaving a career or a comfortable life. You are gaining purpose, passion, mission, and you will be changing the world. Join us today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Christian Rocketeers podcast. Today, we are chatting with Dr. Paul Greiden, and we are talking about how you can prophetically hear God in your nonprofit. And he's back with me now. We had to quick break. My daughter kind of popped in here. So we were talking about the branch in Jeremiah. We were talking about how Jeremiah was a teenager, but he was able to hear from God. So why is that branch so important in that passage?
Well, I believe that Jeremiah wasn't actually seeing a branch in the physical.
Okay.
He didn't look out the window and see a tree or something, that he was seeing it in the spirit.
Mm.
You know, God created us spirit, soul, and body, and I'm not going to go into all that, but we were created as spirit beings, and you know, that's the big part of us that's going to rule and reign and go to heaven one day. But when he was seeing it in the spirit, and God was affirming that you see well, he was training him. Even Jesus, we're told as a young boy, and this is in the Gospels, you'll see that he grew in spirit, and it's with a small S, not a capital S. So he was learning as a young boy how to have a real relationship with God. So sometimes we treat the Bible like a rule book or something, and you know, we read it and we get to know it, and we learn all the rules, we learn the lingo, but what it's really there for is to lead us into a true personal relationship with God.
Yes.
So if I'm married, you know, I have a wife, but if I never saw her and all I did was read letters about her, I really wouldn't know her or have an intimate relationship with her. The Bible is there. Yeah, there are those letters, but it's to lead us into relationship. So when we're talking about running a nonprofit organization or a for-profit, or even being a mom or a dad or whatever it is we're doing in life, the ability to communicate with God is crucial.
Yeah.
So when I took over that nonprofit, and actually I was on the board of directors, it wasn't really something I expected, but we had a crisis with the executive director that I to this day, I can't talk about because of privacy issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I was on the board one day, and the next day I'm at the desk. I had to step down from the board to do that. And I took over. I was there for 9 months as interim director because there are ethical rules against coming off the board for a full-time position in a lot of places. And we had that here. So it was supposed to be 6 months and it went to 9 because we were growing and doing well and won the hearts of the people back. But the first thing I did was go to God in prayer and ask, what do you want to see happen here? And that's when he started talking to me about, unity, but he said, you got to win the people's hearts. They've been beaten down and you know, they need to know you believe in them, that the board believes in them, you know, lots of affirmation. Lots of coaching, and you know, there were times that you had to discipline people. That happens, but you can do that in love and show them a path out and how to succeed. So it took a while, but not that long, for you can start to see people's juices starting to flow again, and their enthusiasm for what they do, and keep them focused on why we're there, because it's not a job so you can earn a paycheck and feed your family.
No.
You know, that's a consequence of what you do, but you're there to serve those people. And we focus best on how we can serve those people. When we talk to people about grants and donations, we talk from the heart about the needs these people have that we're ministering to. I say it that way. You know, obviously, we couldn't say it that way in to the grant people. But we talk about the needs. It's no different than marketing. You know, when you're really an effective marketer in a for-profit world, you have to understand your customers' pain points and how you can solve them. You know, that sounds cold, but the principle is the same because God's principles always work. You know, so we began looking at the people and what their needs were and how we could better serve them, and began to identify other opportunities. You know, there were childcare issues a lot of them had. You know, so Head Start's over and the parents are still at work. What did they do with their kids? So we brainstormed that and we prayed that through, and we began to come up with resolutions for after school childcare that would serve both parties. And then we could go to people to raise the money, but reflecting the heart of God for caring for these people and keeping them in a good, safe environment. And the money started coming in. I think sometimes we're so focused on raising money for our nonprofit that we forget about why we're really there. And it becomes
get so focused on the need for, we look at the budget. You know, you look at your budget and you're like, oh, I need to meet all of this to be able to meet the need, instead of going back to your vision and mission of why you're there. And also remembering that if God's called you to the mission, he provides for it. You know, he'll bring the money in from, you know, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He can bring money in from anywhere, but it's that obedience that's key.
Absolutely. And then the next part, once we had that nailed down, then it was understanding what the word said in relationship with that. And then making sure when we spoke amongst ourselves that what we said was consistent with what the word said about the situation. I remember one particular time being in the outer office with one of the directors, and then there were two other directors out there, and they're commiserating because things had gone horribly wrong that afternoon. And actually, it was a warehouse. We had a warehouse where we stored all of our food, and the company that did that for us needed the space and were kicking us out, and we had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. The time was running out. And, you know, I walked in the door and the first thing I sensed was tension. So I stopped everybody and said, I need you to look at me. I said, God brought me here. And I joke around a lot about being God's favorite. The fact is, we're all God's favorite. But I understand that's part of my identity. So I told them, I'm God's favorite. He's not going to let us fail here. And they kind of looked at me. Well, this person's not answering the phone and that person's not answering or whatever. And I said, that's all fine. Set it aside. I said, I'm going to go in my office and I'm going to pray. You're welcome to join me if you want. And one of them came in and prayed with me. I said, but this is going to change and this will be resolved before we go home today at 5:00. Mm-hmm. And as we're in there praying, the Lord gave me a brainstorm about a new possibility. And then in walked one of my assistant directors that said, you know, I was thinking about this. So I picked up the phone and I called this place and named the city. Mm-hmm. And they're perfectly willing to take care of our needs. And it's going to cost less money than we were paying the old people. And we can make this transition pretty quickly. So I got on the phone with them and, you know, we got the contracts put together and run through the board. You know, we had to do that virtually.
Yeah.
But we had it all resolved. And by the time we went home at 5:00, it was all over. I am convinced, though, that if we stayed in fear and worry and just looked at the problem instead of the solution, that we would have gone home that day with a real mess and not been able to serve those people. And
You're standing there looking at the problem and not taking that time to really, I believe that's a big part of what people miss in life. God, you know, it's that prayer and invitation with him. And, you know, he cares about the sparrow. He cares about little things. He cares about big things. It's all equal to him. And it's inviting him in. You know, he wants to help with the problems of everyday life. And I love how that all came together for you and your organization. I think where nonprofit leaders struggle is they want their rule book. They want their, you know, they take the nonprofit courses that tell them this is the way you need to do it. Here's your step-by-step. And it's real more of how a nonprofit is led as a Christian nonprofit is it's Holy Spirit driven. It's very much a partnership with you and God in leading your nonprofit. And the real important key to leading your nonprofit successfully starts here.
Amen.
Education is key, but there's a lot found in here that can give you a lot of education that you can't get anywhere else.
Absolutely. We don't throw away sound business principles. I know you're not suggesting that, but we incorporate both. I'll go back to throwing the net to the other side of the boat. They knew how to fish, but they heard God in that moment. And I would tell you one major key that almost everybody misses and why our prayers don't get answered, especially in those kinds of environments. And I was just reminded of it because we just finished Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving has a whole new meaning to me because I came to realize in studying the word that Jesus always gave thanks before manifestation of a miracle. You think
That's
about
so
it.
Good. That's
he
so
calls
good.
Lazarus from the tomb and the first before he calls Lazarus, he thanks God. You know, I thank that you hear me. Before he feeds the 5,000 and breaks the fish and loaves.
He gave thanks.
He gave thanks. You know, he did it ahead of time. So this is something that I'm working on teaching my children and grandchildren is that that's such an important part of our faith, because we have to see the manifestation before it actually comes.
We have to see God at work. And that's one of the things that I'm teaching my children as well is, instead of just asking about their day, I ask them now, well, where did you see God at work in your day today? And they're like, I don't got anything for me. And now they're actually coming back after I've done it a few times. They're like, well, I saw where I got an A on my test and he helped me here and here and there. And it's the same thing in nonprofit leadership. We get the opportunity as human beings every day to experience God, to see him at work. I get the opportunity, and Carrie does as well, to see him at work in Kenya with our young teen moms over there, and how he takes them from poverty and we're giving them business skills, and how he's redeeming their story from trauma to triumph. I mean, in so many ways. But the thing is you have to look for it. You know, there's so many moments as Americans that we don't look for gratitude moments because they're all around us. Instead, we look at what we lack instead of the abundance that we have in Christ.
Right. And we don't know who we are as Christians. You know, Galatians says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But you go a few verses later and it says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. He's not talking about when we die and go to heaven. He's talking about right now, that our spirit part of us is actually seated there with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And actually, you go further than that, it says, well, we pray that our blessings are deposited there in the heavenly places. So part of our relationship is being able to get to the heavenly places so that we can withdraw them. Hence the ministry name, As It Is in Heaven. Part of the Lord's Prayer, that things are on earth as it is in heaven. Because that was, Jesus taught us to pray this way. You know, so for some of your viewers, this may be a new thought. It may sound crazy, but you have to blame Jesus. He taught us to pray this way.
He did.
And now so the reality of relationship, bringing it into fruition. So when I have faced that thing with that warehouse that day, my first thought was, God didn't bring me here to fail.
No.
That he's the creator of the universe. He has the solution for this. So I had to get into a mindset of thanksgiving that he had the answer and that he would share it with me.
Yeah, thank him in advance for the miracle is what we say. You know, we thank you in advance, God, that you work all things together for good according to your purposes and that you will carry it forth.
Right. So the principle here, again, this is an Issachar thing, right? They studied the word and dug out the principles that thanksgiving precedes every miracle. You know, so when we're facing an obstacle at a nonprofit, and the scripture, by the way, calls us overcomers, you can't be an overcomer unless you've had obstacles. So life is a series of obstacles. Running a nonprofit, you're going to face a series of obstacles, and God's looking like, okay, are you going to cooperate with me on this one? Let's do this together and see it grow and be so much more effective than you ever dreamed, or do it on your own.
Yeah, where you struggle, and you know, a lot of when people come to us is they're struggling and they're striving. And what I find is they're striving. They're not really listening to the Holy Spirit. They're trying to do it all on their own when really, again, it gets back to relationship. Well, I have so enjoyed our conversation, and I hope you can come back again and we can have more of these conversations as the season progresses. Where can people connect with you?
Email's easy. It's a long one, but it's drgraden for Dr. Graden at asitisinheavenministries.org. So awesome. It's a long one, but we can spell that out. And sure, happy to help whoever I can help.
Yeah, we'll happy put that in the out. Show notes too. And now, have you written any books? Do you have any that are in the works?
I'm working on one now. I've written things that are more secular business related, but I'm really shifting into this mindset. So actually I'm working on one now where I'm compiling 50 different God stories about how God's intervened in Christian businesses. So similar to the story I told you about the experience at the Sea of Galilee and how it turned around that nonprofit that night. From 50 different Christian business owners. So I'm compiling that and putting that together as a way of getting the word out that this relationship with God thing is a reality And it does make a difference in our day-to-day life, not just with nonprofits, but for-profits as well. So as I'm hoping that book, when it's done, will be an encouragement to all of us as we proceed together.
I'm sure it will. All right, everybody. Well, thank you and for joining us today. And I look forward to having you back again and chatting further. And everybody, I look forward to, you know, you tuning again next week. So I hope you all have a fabulous day. And you can connect with us at ChristianRocketeers.com ChristianRocketeers.com. And we will be happy to help you rocket your nonprofit to that next level and do it God's way. See you again.